I'm a Mr. Potato Head.
What are your pronouns?
They, them, us.
That's really gross. I don't care what it is. It looks, it's really horrifying. Could you imagine running into that at night? You guys can't see this if you're listening to the podcast, but on our YouTube page at youtube.com/Radio Labyrinth Podcast, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Dustin. You can see Jeff with his horrific potato head mask and tie-dyed shirt, which is cool, but the mask is frightening. Or the, there you go. Now go back to the potato. Oh, so I guess Jeff has that on because we, what is that? That's even creepier. Talk so we can see it better.
I'm a Mr. Potato Head.
That one's even worse.
Wow, he looks like a Chernobyl nursery or something.
Looks like Rocky Dennis.
I'm a potato.
Where the hell do you get that app? Is that in the Zoom update?
No, it's Snap Camera.
Oh, okay.
It really cranks up the fan real bad on my computer, though, so I can't do it very long.
That's pretty funny, though. Of course, the reason Jeff is doing that, and I'm sure we'll talk about, well, we're going to, might as well just talk about it now. There was news yesterday that the Mr. Potato Head, that Hasbro, the toy company, was going to stop making a Mr. or Mrs. Potato Head and exclusively have a gender-neutral potato head. But I believe later on in the day, they tweeted that they weren't getting rid of Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. So has anyone heard anything about that?
Yeah, they're adding a non-gender potato
to the
mix. Yeah, but they're still going to keep Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. But now you can, with this, they're also selling a package where you can make a family out of gender neutral potato people. Okay.
Do they believe that people are really going to buy this?
I mean, obviously, I mean, if they're changing their line, I mean, they're with that line of thinking now, whether or not it'll actually happen.
You know, I can think back to when I was a kid, you know, and that's a long time ago because I'm 50.
When we were kids, they didn't give you a plastic potato. They just gave you the nose and the glasses and stuff. You had to supply your own potato.
No, you're not 70 years old. We had Mr. Potato Head with the potato. The plastic potato, right?
Sounds like Jeff didn't have that.
Yeah. Did your parents just get it at a garage sale and go, here's an old-fashioned Miss You? You know,
when we were babysat at Betty Thompson's house, they had the...
Well, she had the OG one then, because, yeah.
Glasses and the hat and stuff, and you had to put it on a real potato.
Were the pins metal?
I don't remember that.
When it first came out, they were metal, and I think they had to replace them with plastic or Bakelite or whatever, because... I'm sure kids were stabbing each other with them or themselves. But my grandparents used to say, you know, I had my Mr. Potato Head. You know, when Timmy, when your dad was a kid, they didn't have you. You put it into a real potato. I don't know why they have. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not making fun of him, but I mean, it's just, you know, now and when I'm 70, I'll be like,
when I was a kid, potatoes had genders.
Yes, that's right.
I did like Hasbro's line, though. They said the possibilities to create your own families are endless with mixing and mashing of all the parts and pieces.
But here's the thing. Mr. Potato Head was fun maybe once or twice. If you had a vivid imagination, you could take a bulky round toy with you and I don't know. You could also hit it with a baseball bat. I don't remember Mr. Potato Head being that fun. But again,
I mean, you couldn't do anything with it. I mean, once the pieces went on, that was it.
Right.
Yeah.
I had more fun with Light Bright and Tin Can Alley. You know, you had the long gun that would shoot a beam of light at a target and then the can would fall off. You could put a can on top of.
Well, now that there's general neutral potato head, you can have plenty of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You can masturbate freely now.
Yeah, that's true.
Potato head. You don't have to worry about it being gay anymore.
So what are they going to do with Raggedy Ann and Andy? Just going to be Raggedy A? It's just going to be one doll?
Raggedy persons?
ragged people.
That band Mr. Mister just completely disappeared.
I saw that. Yeah, I thought about that the other day. Like, what are they going to do with Mr. Mister? So that's the news. I mean, this is the weird stuff that goes on, and it's all fueled by social media, because immediately when it comes out, it's immediately polarizing, and then you have people going, "I'm the fuck that," and then you have other people going, "This is the greatest thing ever." Another example of it this week was yesterday. Oreo's social media Twitter account tweeted out, "Trans people exist." Oreos. Now, they do, and I'm 100% in agreement with that, and and I think it's great. But what the fuck does Oreos care? What are they trying to do? What are they trying to prove? I don't understand it. I just think it's crazy.
Trans fat people exist.
That's true. And Oreos are loaded with trans fat, so you shouldn't be eating them anyway. Those are fats at one time were...
they had genders at one time.
Yeah. Well, we're not mocking trans people at all. I just think that it's ridiculous that Oreos has to take a stand on something like that. Stupid. But I don't know. I really don't understand. I guess it's because I'm old, maybe. I don't know. I think it is. I think that's what it's got to be. I guess culture changed. But nothing's changed. In our lifetimes, things haven't been drastically altered like they're being altered now. And it's just weird, I guess. I don't know. I guess maybe when our grandparents reached their 40s and 50s, they started seeing rock and roll music and they probably didn't like it very much. And, you know, like, you know, Elvis swinging his hips and stuff like that. But that was still a gradual. I mean, it took a while to get from Elvis to
Marilyn Manson.
Well, it took a long, I was going to use Black Sabbath, but yes, it took a while to get from Black Sabbath to Marilyn Manson. But it just seems now that anything that, and then I was today, Dr. Seuss was trending and schools are removing Dr. Seuss because it's racist. And I didn't know that Dr. Seuss was racist. I have no, I mean, I read the article explaining why they say
one, it's, is it because of one fish, two fish, red fish, Jew fish?
Yes, I think that's it. I think that's it. No, because they have cartoon depictions of the way people used to draw different cultures. And that's, I guess, problematic now. But for, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Sometimes I get like, and I realize it's stupid to get, you know?
Well, hang a sign up outside your house saying genders exist. Male and females exist.
No, no, no. I'm not going to be like those two dopey congressmen having dueling virtue signaling for their idiots that follow them. Another thing, I mean, we don't usually get political on here. And I wanted to say something. I was going to wait till Monday when Steph was here, but I'll just say it now. I think one of my biggest problems over the last, you know, we started out this show, Barack Obama was still president and the country was still normal for the most part. And then when Trump won, it just, I fell into the, hey, let's troll and let's have fun. And then every year it just got a little worse, you know, leading up to January 6th when it was just what? And so now everybody's dialing back from that. And I was wishing that social media would do the same thing. Like the actors that I followed and comedians that I followed would stop talking about politics. And they're not. A lot of them aren't. You know, some people became completely unhinged. Like Jim Gaffigan became totally unhinged on social media. I couldn't follow him at all. He was just nuts, just every day. And like Seth Rogen, I don't know why anybody would follow him. He doesn't talk about his movies. He just bitches about stuff. You know, fuck you, Ted Cruz. I don't care, Seth Rogen, what you think any more than you care what I think about anybody. But my point being is that I really don't want that to be something that we talk about, but you can't escape it because everything is politicized now. Everything, all the TV shows, even you know, if they, and they go back and they make an old show a problem. You know, David Letterman for how we talked to Lindsay Lohan, that's a problem, and you know, Woody Allen polarizing people, and he's not, but the documentary is. So I don't know what the solution is. What do we talk about, or do we just ignore it? I mean, I want to, but it's almost impossible.
I think it becomes a point where you have to ignore it and choose consciously to ignore it.
Yeah.
At least with what you're putting out. I mean, if we, you know, put blinders on and didn't bring any of this up in the shows that we do, only focus on, you know, what's happening in, you know, Hollywood or social media. But you're right, because that's so ingrained in that now. And I think it's mostly to do with the pandemic. I think the pandemic set a lot of people at home, got them thinking about certain things and the way that it should be done. And they've had nothing to do but practice their, you know, armchair political rhetoric. And it's gotten to a point now where we could dial it back, like you said, but people aren't taking the cues. They're not doing that. They're wanting to push this forward. Yeah. And it may be us getting old, but I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, it can be dismissed as white male privilege, but I don't believe in that. I think it's there's things that are more nuanced. I mean, generationally, we're different. I mean, we didn't have Korean boy bands, and I don't care. I don't like most music anyway, you know. But you know, cultures change and music changes and all that stuff. But if you say something bad about somebody that everybody likes, then a whole army of their Twitter followers attack. It's just so bizarre. And it really, to me, I'm guilty of it. I'll sit and look at Twitter for, you know, half an hour and just get enraged over stupid shit. And it's dumb. I realize it's dumb. But, you know, I'm going to be a lot more busy after June. So I probably won't have time to do all that shit. I'll just be like living life and you know, raising the family. So.
And praying for sleep.
Yeah. You can be like me and just follow Impractical Jokers people and tell them Steve, Dave people. And
those people don't talk about politics, do they?
A couple cam girls.
I don't follow cam girls.
They don't talk about politics. They stay in their own little, you know, their own little world. Tell them Steve, Dave, great example. I mean, they're very easily could get into, you know, all of this and probably discuss it at length.
And the most political they get is talking about Tom Brady.
Yeah. That's as far as it goes.
That's awesome. Like, you know, you used to watch late night TV. I loved Letterman. I loved Carson. I liked Conan when he came around. And I imagine he's probably the least of all of them political. But I got, like today I drew this picture. You can see it. It's Stephen Colbert. And that guy, you know, it's a comedy show. It's a talk show. You don't have to have, you know.
Right, but his ratings tanked until he started doing politics. So now he thinks he's got to do.
Yeah, well, yeah. Trump saved him. Trump saved all of them. Trump saved CNN. They saved all of them, made a whole bunch of people stars. And if you notice, they can't let go, you know. He's in Mar-a-Lago, so they're all down there, and it's all scripted. It seems scripted. Like this is Jim Acosta, the one that all the Republicans hate, so that's who CNN sends there, and he gets yelled at. Duh. It's the stupidest shit. But anyway, Mr. Potato Head is still going to be Mr. Potato Head, and you could be like me. I ordered one yesterday just in case the story was completely true, because you serve two functions there. You have a real Mr. Potato Head, and then you, but if they were to get rid of it, you know, you have one that might be valuable.
But now you can safely put a gender neutral potato head up your butt.
I know. I can do that. More fun shit. Hey, everybody, remember to watch or record the March 10th, it's a Wednesday, episode of Forged in Fire on the History Channel. Even if you've never seen it before, it's a good show. You should do that. One of our radios is a contestant. We're not going to say his name until we have him on the show. But we'll be having him on the very next day to see how he did. He hasn't spoiled any of it. And I reached out to one of the judges, and the judge replied, can't say anymore, but winky face. So we'll see. And hopefully I can get that judge lined up to where he's on with our guest. So that would be kind of cool.
Yeah,
awesome. That will be cool. I'm going to watch that one.
And I finally finished season 6, and I'm on season 7. They're currently in season 8. There are 40 episodes in season 7. And I was talking to the guy, and I found out where they shoot it in Brooklyn. And I had no idea that's where they were shooting, because they're like, you never see cityscapes or anything like that. They shoot it in
Brooklyn. That's a very hipster thing to do, though, building knives.
Oh, yeah, I guess maybe, yeah. But a lot of these dudes are military guys, you know? Some of them are doctors. They're from all walks of life. It's really cool. But just to watch them doing all that stuff, and you got to imagine how heavy that hammer would be if you're hitting a piece of steel with it for an hour and a half.
Yeah, the part that makes me think about it more is how the forges have gotten so much better now. You can have one, you know, on your property in your home. But look back, you know, 200 years ago or earlier, what would have to go into, and the time that would have to go into making, you know, they're making a sword and it takes them that long. You know, think about all the swords that were made for vast, you know, armies and things like that.
Yeah,
how long that would have taken.
using coal and a hammer. They didn't have Big Blue to stretch out the and Big Blue, by the way, is a big pneumatic hammer. You know, but yeah, they didn't have that. They just had a big hammer, so it was all strong guys, like in Lord of the Rings when the orcs are making all the weapons and just throwing them in a pile. I did notice they didn't quench them though, so they probably broke in battle. See, I'm learning new things. I know.
Yeah.
Quenching and Damascus and billets and things like that. I think it's cool. I wish it makes me remember being in seventh grade. I had to take metal and wood shop. And it was half the time you're in the metal shop and half the time you're in the wood shop. I didn't like metal shop. I was afraid of everything. Afraid of getting hurt, afraid of getting burned, afraid of touching the sand. And I wasn't a very good student in that class. I did end up making the, it was called ramming a mold. Jeff, you did it too.
Oh yeah, I rammed plenty of molds.
You did.
In my day.
I made an anchor on a piece of wood. So the wood was made in shop. And the anchor was a cast mold that you screwed on. So that's the only metal work I've ever done in my life. I think I failed out after that or quit. I don't know. But I went into it going, I'm afraid. I don't know anything about oxyacetylene. But I watched these dudes and I'm like, I could have done that if I'd not been afraid and paid attention. And, you know, I don't know.
If you had a long enough scale.
Well, the ruler?
Don't call it a ruler.
I know, the very first day of class, don't call this ruler. Is that guy still alive, our teacher?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not.
I went looking for him on Facebook and couldn't find him because I wanted.
He was so high strung, he must have fucking died by now.
Yeah, but anytime I spoke to him after we were in school, he was super cool. So, I mean, he was always nice. I saw him. I worked at the convenience store that was right next to our old high school. And so a lot of the teachers I had would come in and they were pretty decent. But yeah, and I liked our woodshop teacher. Like he also taught us graphics.
Yeah.
Jeff and I were in graphics and everything was done with silk screens. And then we had, what was that machine called? Was it a press or what
was
it?
Yeah, a press.
Yeah, we were, you'd hand crank everything. It was fun.
It was a one color press.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had to do, it was offset, right? So if you wanted to do two colors, you had to do two different things and then you had to put paper back in.
Yep. Yep.
I made a New York Yankees notepad for my brother. That's what I made in that class. It was
the copyright infringement. I'm calling George Steinbrenner.
Okay, good luck. Good luck at all. You know what he has to say. If you get a hold of him and he gets mad at me, I will take care of it. So I don't know, but it was fun. And this show is great. So I like it. It's something you could put on. You have to pay attention to it, but you can also look at your phone if you have.
Can you pound your steel while you watch?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't have Damascus. I don't have Damascus. It's mine's kind of always in this state.
You got the mercury?
Yeah, yeah. And I have lead and solder. I don't know. I'm done. I'm done rapping about the metal show. But if you've never seen it, you should watch it. It's a fun show. I like it. I like all the judges are cool. The one we're going to talk to is one that I really like. He's always complimentary. He doesn't, I'm not going to disparage any of the other ones, but he just seems like the most accessible and coolest of all of them. And the main host isn't the one that hosted most of the seasons is gone. So I haven't seen any of the seasons.
It will kill guy.
Keep. No, he's still there.
Oh, okay.
You watch it, don't you, Dustin?
Yeah, I've watched all of them like you have, but I've watched enough of them to get the show. Yeah.
I still have to go back to season 5 and watch prior to that. There's just so many episodes.
But it's ridiculous how many episodes there are for a show. I mean, just for a standard. I mean, even when we were watching sitcoms back in the 80s, they didn't make, you know, 40 episodes a season or something.
It must cost next to nothing. What do they win?
$10,000.
Yeah, that's nothing.
And really, what they got to pay them, I think, is probably airfare. And I found out, we'll talk more to the judge about it if we get him on, but I found out that they do all the pre-interviews on Zoom and stuff like that because they're still shooting. And so now I imagine they have to pay, they have to do COVID tests and stuff. But They fly into New York, and one of the questions I saw on Google was, can they keep the swords? Because they always have to turn them in after they're done making their weapons. In the beginning part where they all have to make like a knife or something, and then they send the two finalists to their home forges where they'll make like something bigger, usually a sword, a historical replica. So they, I wondered, you know, why don't they ever get to keep their sword? But there's a law in New York that you're not allowed to show a sword being made on television unless it's a prop. And I have to look into it a little bit more.
And it's definitely not props.
No, they're not. They're not props. So maybe
testing them and everything else.
Yeah. But they're not allowed to keep them or something. I don't know. I got to look into it. You wouldn't think they'd shoot it in Brooklyn if they weren't allowed to make something in New York State. So,
or if there wasn't a place for them to display all the winners or like a museum exhibit or, you know, something like that.
Yeah. They have tons of that stuff around on the inside of the, in the set, inside of the forge. We can ask all these questions. And if you guys have any questions for the contestant that we're going to have on or the judge, go ahead and leave them for us on our Facebook page or in the Radio Shack.
Yeah, I'll leave a post in the Radio Shack for some questions.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch the show, we're going to ask them. And then coming up also next week on March 8th, I believe we're going to be speaking with Roger Black and Waco O'Gwin from Netflix, now Netflix. They, you know, Paradise PD and Yucko the Clown fame. And if you know, went to UGA or live in Athens, they were the Damn Show guys. And all, you know, Yucko used to be on the Regular Guys and then he went to Stern. So, but they've been doing Paradise PD, a really, really funny animated show. They've done a lot of good stuff. So we'll talk to them about their new projects next week.
That's March 8th. So we got one more week before that.
Oh yeah. So we do. Gosh, it's going faster than. All right, now I'm going to thank our sponsors. We have two sponsors. They've been with us for a long time, and they stuck with us throughout the first year of the COVID pandemic. We don't know how long it's going to last this year, so let's just say the first year, and we hope that it won't go on much longer than that. But anyhow, I want to thank Mike Hall and Atlanta Pizza and Euro, serving Conyers in the East Metro Atlanta area since 1983. Mike Hall and his staff truly appreciate your business and thank you for your continued support during the year that never happened or we wish never happened. When's the last time you guys were out there?
We all went out there when they opened. Yeah.
Well, I've been out since then a couple times. Mm-hmm. But didn't we recently have a listener show up there?
Yeah, Tim went out there.
Yeah, Tim Allen, he goes out there weekly. Oh, okay. I think he eats lunch a couple of times a week out there. Okay. He's a great radio.
If you go out there, and I notice that some people do this, if you go to Atlanta Pizza and Euro, post on our social media, either in the Radio Shack or on our Facebook page. Let us know that you were there, and we'll give you a shout out for in both of our sponsors.
Get their Greek salad. They make their own dressing, and it is out of this world.
And cannoli. Get the cannoli.
Get the cannoli, yeah.
But leave the gun at home. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is open for dine-in services, or if you prefer, you can give them a call and place your own takeout order. You can also order online for pickup or delivery through their website at atlantapizzaeuro.com. And I've made a decision when it comes to this kind of thing. If I'm going to order something and the restaurant doesn't deliver, I'm going to go pick it up because I'm sick of Uber and their Uber Eats or any of those things. They take their middleman cut, then you got to tip the driver, which I don't mind doing that at all. But a lot of times they screw your order up and then you're left with nothing. And plus restaurants kind of get fucked by those apps. So if you can do whatever you can to just go pick it up. That's what I'm going to do. Visit them on Facebook or leave them a positive review on Google as it helps their business continue to grow. And our other sponsor, I would be remiss to leave him out. And that would be Brett Perkins and his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens since 2000. Let me scroll this up so I don't say it wrong. 2005. I didn't want to give them two extra years. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, if you're in the market for something that he has to offer you, call 706-316-9366 or email at athens@ldiline.com.
And I know Brett personally. He's a hell of a guy. And he has great taste in movies and comedy. And yeah, you should totally do business with him if you're building some shit.
Hell yeah. Call, goddammit.
He should come on the show sometime.
Tell us about. He should.
Backpacks and shit and tell us about his business.
Yeah. All right, we'll do that. Hey, if you're out there and you'd like to be a sponsor of Radio Labyrinth, just hit me up. We'll figure it out. All right? Dustin, what's going on?
Well, we've got some news coming out of Hollywood. Let's see, District 9. You guys remember District 9?
I do.
Neil Blomkamp?
I think it's funny. The other night I was thinking about that movie just at random, and I was like, when are they going to do the sequel? So now I know. Keep going.
Yeah, they're planning. A sequel's been planned, which he's wanted to do for years. But the process of writing the script with his writing partner, which is also his wife, they write everything together. They've started writing the sequel. So, you know, production's still a ways off, but at least, you know, it's becoming a reality as opposed to just a pipe dream at this point.
So any hint as to what the story's going to be? Because that was a really good science fiction movie. It was
and calling it District 10, which, I mean, seems a little ridiculous knowing that that was just a place.
Right.
The place where they were all quarantined to. But I mean, I think it's probably going to be the race returning. Mm-hmm. And you know, that would be interesting because of how they left and how they were treated.
Well, they didn't all leave, right? Just one guy left, right?
I thought they were. Well, that's what I mean. I think they're left to come back and reclaim. So
because he was human and he was turned into one of those creatures. So, you know what I mean? He was accidentally turned into one of those creatures. Right.
I think it might be a liaison between the two races. And so that might be a way to, you know, to do that. But I mean, I could also see where he could use, I mean, as it was a very political, you know, aimed and written movie to begin with, had a lot of subtext. I think this will also have the same effect.
Huh.
It was a good movie though. I'm looking forward to seeing the sequel.
Yeah. Oh, I love, all of his Oats stuff that he's put out on YouTube, all the stuff that, do you guys ever see those Oats shorts?
No.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance, look for Oats Studios on YouTube. Neil Blomkamp went in and made like 7 or 8 shorts, and these were ideas for movies. They were kind of like pitches, but he put his full special effects crew behind all of them, and some of them were ridiculous. This came out back when they were talking about him making the new Alien movie and using Sigourney Weaver and Bean, remake those. This was around that time. Some of them are funny, some of them are scary. All of them are usually something to do with sci-fi, but the special effects in these are better than a lot of movies that I've seen at full production. So, check those out. They're
Oats.
OATS.
Okay.
Yeah. Oats. And really cool. The one about Vietnam is really, really neat.
Keep just finding these Daryl Hall videos.
Yeah, it's Oats Studios is what it's under. WandaVision, Kevin Feige said that, is there going to be a WandaVision season 2 since this one's starting to wrap up? And he's saying that there's no plans for one, which makes sense. I mean, if this was all, you know, first season was all designed to lead into the Doctor Strange movie and open up this, you know, new fourth generation of Marvel movies, then, or fourth section of Marvel movies, then there would be no reason for another season. And the way that this season is going now, I couldn't see them having another season because it's you know, getting to a boiling point. Did you guys watch the new episode?
Right, it's a bridge series, right?
Yeah, it's designed to take you from. Yeah,
so it's basically a commercial for the new Doctor Strange movie,
right? Yeah. I haven't seen the most recent episode yet, so I'll spoil it.
No, I won't spoil it, but it definitely answers a lot of questions that people had as far as, you know, what's going on. It also gives a lot of backstory on the whole WandaVision and kind of shows you around the, you know, peek behind the curtain at everything that caused it. And there's a really cool after credit scene that kind of pretty introduces a new character.
Okay.
So yeah, it's really good.
Marvel character or a character that we will know that's new to the.
No, it's a new.
Is it a reboot of an existing character, or yes. is it Silver Surfer?
No, but very close. Right. But yeah, I won't spoil it, but it is a character that you look at it and you go, oh, that character now looks you know, is what they're supposed to be, or at least what they are in modern comics. It kind of bridges the gap from an old, maybe a golden era comic character to a
MODOK
modern.
MODOK?
Nope.
Oh, because I saw they're going to do a MODOK series, but that's going to be anime.
Let's see. You guys were talking about Allen versus Pharaoh documentary last episode.
Yeah.
And it comes out that it looks like in the that they used sections of the audio of Allen's audiobook without his permission to make book, this.
By the way.
Say again?
Apropos to nothing, it is a good book to listen to if you're a Woody Allen fan.
Well, it's you know, and I'm coming out and saying this now, it's kind of I guess the damage would have been done, but as far, you know, what is this going to, I mean, besides litigation, I mean, what else could this lead to? It doesn't absolve anything, nor does it.
No,
it almost makes things a little more concrete.
I bet they felt like they couldn't try and tell both sides of the story without input from him, and they couldn't get him.
No, he refused
it. So they took shit from his book and used it without permission.
Well, they say though that they used it just enough to fall within the fair usage, whatever. But he's suing. I think that he and Sun Yi will sue. And the point of this all is that they don't like Woody Allen, and the people that made the documentary in the LA Times get ad revenue, and they get all sorts of buzz on social media, just like the Free Britney thing and the stupid hotel, the Cecil Hotel. Mm-hmm. All these documentaries now, not all of them, because there are some good ones, but documentaries like this where you don't have everybody involved will just lead you to believe one thing, that Woody Allen is guilty, that what he did was inappropriate and wrong, and it's absolutely proven that he did it, even though several doctors have said that they don't believe it happened to her, even though that there's documentation of her being coached, all sorts of things. We don't need to rehash it again on the show, but it's just to generate clicks and likes and subs and follows, right? Clicks and likes and subs and follows.
Can I sue you then?
What do you want to sue me for?
Because I'm very hurt by this, and you won't help me.
What can I do to help you?
Sue everybody.
Go out and get in the fights yourself.
All right then.
All right then.
We also last week last episode we talked about The Simpsons, the Dr. Julius Hibbert being revoiced, and it's going to be Kevin Michael Richardson, mm-hmm. Who's done a lot of voice work on Simpsons already, and as well as other voiceover work in other cartoons. But he is a African-American gentleman, and he will be taking the role of the African-American doctor.
I bet you won't even be able to tell when they switch.
No.
Yeah. No. No, I don't think that voice is going to be that specific.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, why? Why now?
I mean, to say
no,
they have.
You know why now, but I mean, yeah. Why now in the overall? I mean, he's done it for 30 years.
Yeah, but the point, I guess their point is he's not doing it for the 31, and since 31 is 2021, you know, they've covered their bases, and sure. You know, game of cover your ass is what everybody's playing right now.
I haven't watched it since they announced they were getting rid of Apu, and I'll never watch it again. Doesn't matter. I mean, I'll watch reruns, but I won't watch any new ones. First of all, I don't really care. I don't think it's as good as it used to be. It's still funny, I guess, but. It pissed me off so much that the Apu was gone that I decided never to watch it again. I know it's stupid, but whatever.
Well, for the same, you know, for the same reasons that, you know, this change is happening, Sacha Baron Cohen is not going to be making another Borat movie. He says it's too dangerous, literally too dangerous to be able to, you know, to make something like he's made in the past.
Why? Because of white supremacists?
I think it's just the climate, everything. He's not going to play ball.
No, you can't go out and shock people. You know, people aren't going to fall for it anymore. And if they do get shot, people are going to get mad.
Yeah, they don't. You know, there's no middle ground anymore. like you said, that it's now it's offensive, mm-hmm. and that's it. You know, so people take offense, and their offense will in violence.
You can't do that gotcha shit anymore.
Right. You can't. You can't get a group of people at a rodeo to sing Throw the Jew Down the Well anymore.
Let's see. But speaking of things that are going to be coming back, it looks like there's going to be a revival of Frasier.
I saw that. I was, why?
Paramount Plus Network needs
content. Needs
flagship shows to launch.
And they've kind of went through the last, 20 years and handpicked all the, you've had Mad About You had a resurgence. You had Sex and the City's having another one. They're just trying to cherry pick these shows that at one time carried a huge, market. But Frasier, I mean, it was kind of a show of its time, really. I don't think it would. I mean, I'm sure they'll adapt it to the current climate, but
it was one of those rare spinoffs. I mean, in the 70s, there were a lot of them that were successful, but this was one of those rare later era of television spinoffs that was super successful, even almost more successful than Cheers.
I was into it for the first few years, but eventually I just stopped watching. I don't know what happened. It was still on, but I wasn't watching it anymore.
Yeah, same here. It was always quality, but those first three or four seasons were just fantastic. Great writing, very, very funny, great characters. And then it just went, Frasier, okay.
Well, I think they took the characters developed. I mean, they matured, they developed into I don't think you could take the story further anymore without, drastically changing, the storyline and the plot. I mean, I think they kind of grew up, and it kind of, once those characters mature like that, or you put them in a position to where they really can't change, or they've changed so much that they're a new person. The show kind of loses its, at least what brought it from its beginning stages to where, its peak popularity.
Did you guys also see the movies that are being made into sitcoms or made into series for Paramount? Mm-mm. You have Love Story, Italian Job, The Parallax View, Flashdance, and Fatal Attraction. All five of those are being made into a series.
Wow. I don't know. I guess I could see maybe Flashdance if it was done in a period.
They've remade Flashdance so many times, from Flashdance all the way up to...
Let's take all our IP and try and monetize it.
Yeah. Like, Disney, they said that Disney's been doing that for 100 years. Yeah. Attraction, though, what they're going to do with that is spin it on its axis and probably mm-hmm. make the guy nuts. And then the Italian Job, Stallone did a remake of that in the 90s. Does anyone ever talk about it? No.
Mm-hmm. That was the one that had Marky Mark.
I don't know who. My Cocaine was in the original.
Yeah, and then they basically did a Ocean's 11 reboot of it, bringing in those characters. But yeah, it's still the original's 10 times better.
Oh yeah. If Ocean's 11 reboot wouldn't have been successful if it hadn't have been a Soderbergh film, because it had that. I mean, it was a big blockbuster for him. But it was a Steven Soderbergh, it had a feel to it, and all of his movies have a feel to them. Mm-hmm. And if you like him and you like his pacing and you like the way he does his movies, then you like all of them, I think. I mean, even the ones that aren't very good. But that Ocean's 11 was way better than the original. The original was just, hey, I'm Frank and Dean.
Yeah, it was more. Yeah, it was just more of a vehicle for the, the Vegas Rat Pack. Yeah.
Hey, let's go rob us. Hey, Frank, let's go rob us a casino while I get drunk and make fun of Sammy for being a black guy. Hey, Sammy.
You ever see that stuff? You ever watch any of those old videos or listen to them live, the Rat Pack?
I watched the old roasts.
The roasts are different. I'm saying they would perform. They would tour together. Frank, Dean, and Sammy were the three. And they would just tell the most racist jokes, and then Sammy would just stand up there, oh, Frank. It was horrible. But anyway.
Let's see. Also, Ray Donovan is going to get a wrap-up movie.
Good.
They're going to be able to close it out, and Liv Schreiber is going to co-write the script with David Hollander in as the showrunner.
Are they going to let Voight be in it?
I'm sure they'll probably, if you're pulling that in, you're going to bring everything back. Cause most of those times when they do those movie wrap ups, I mean, they try to include the entire world you know, of the show.
Maybe he'll die for real this time.
Who, Ray or him?
No, John Voight.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But it's good that they're actually, hopefully, you know, if nothing else and this becomes, you know, something good, we'll get more. And because there's plenty of series that they've chopped the legs off of without an ending season. And you know, this would be a great way to close them up. And if they're looking for, you know, things to make or, you know, in Hollywood looking for original ideas, you know, stop making old movies into new series. Try taking old series and closing them out with a movie.
You make a very good point. We were talking about, you know, the news came out today that JJ, we'll talk about this more Monday, but JJ Abrams. And I can't say the guy's name, Taishi Coates. I'll have to look it up. I don't want to butcher it. But they're going to put together a new Superman movie, and Superman will be African-American. And I don't care. But my point is that there are probably thousands of super creative African-American writers out there with ideas. A long time ago, we interviewed a lady on our show. She's a professor, and she's into science fiction and Afrofuturism. There's tons and tons of ideas and characters that people are coming up with that they could write, that they could go and make a new movie out of. And they don't have to, you know, when you remake something like that or attach yourself, again, it's that polarizing thing. And what does the polarization do? It puts people in camps, they fight with each other, but the product gets lifted one way or the other, whether it's from a negative voice or a positive voice. The product gets lifted and it gets free advertising and everybody talks about it. And just, I'm going to diverge for a second, but Michael Bolton did a commercial for a new brokerage firm and it's funny. And I was like, oh, this is great. And I got the audio for it and I sent it to my boss for the radio show. And I realized as I was sending it, this is what they want. They want a commercial. And this is what it'll be. It'll be people fighting and quit ruining our characters. Who says they're going to ruin it? They're going to do a whole new story. And then you have people going, well, we need to do this to everything. No, you don't. There are thousands of ideas out there. Go find them. Cultivate. Get people who are creative. Get that nerdy kid who is in college right now who's drawing comic books all the time. Because, you know, because of what finally happened in the film industry, especially with science fiction and fantasy, is it stopped being Lily White. So now more people are involved and more people are cool. You see it at Dragon Con. I'm all in favor of that, but I want new stories. I want something I can go watch and sink my teeth into. Like, the horror movie. What was the horror movie? Keenan.
Get Out.
I'm just really tired. Get Out. Completely brand new idea. It wasn't something that had been made in the past. It was a great film. It was scary. It was creepy. It made a point. And I just, that's what I want to see. I want to experience new things. I don't want to see something through someone else's eyes that I've already seen. And I'm not trying to sound
like scared to put huge movie money behind new ideas though that are untested.
Throw a series out there.
Yeah. That's what they should do.
Throw a series out there. Put a comic book out. You know, give a kid or a guy or a gal, whatever, it doesn't matter. But give somebody
with potato head.
Yes. Give somebody with an idea some money to develop something. Have mentors nurture that. Those people are all out there. There are mentors, there are directors, there are producers, there are people with money that are willing to do this. But you have studios going, no, we need J.J. Abrams to fucking destroy another franchise. And I'm not saying that because the Superman will be African-American. I'm just saying J.J. Abrams makes shitty reboots. I mean, they're watchable and they're passable, but they suck. The Star Wars and Star Trek.
Yeah, so, he's kind of been attached to everything that's trying to be remade, and that Wonder Kid, that doesn't it doesn't help the situation at all. I mean, give somebody, you know, that's unknown, give them a voice. I mean, make sure they're proven,
yeah,
you know, from what they've done, but at least give someone else a chance. J.J. Abrams was given a chance, you know, by Spielberg. So you know, once that chance was given, you know, he proved that he can make a good movie. But once he started working on everyone else's movies, that's where, you know, it started to get a little, you know, a little dicey as far as being able to put out a good product. I mean, we're talking about it right now. I mean, J.J. Abrams should be you know, should have been the next Spielberg, but unfortunately he's becoming the next Blumhouse, it seems like, where they'll attach anything to his name.
I'm waiting for the J.J. Abrams big budget Hardware Wars reboot.
See, I would love that. A lot of lens flares as toasters clash with each other. I loved that movie.
Well, Bill Nye, the science guy, is going up against Disney. He's brought up the fact that Disney keeps 80% of the streaming revenue by calling everything that they put online to stream home video. It's listed under home video. So because it's listed under home.
What a scam. Go ahead.
So they get 10, you know, and the way it works out, you know, they end up getting 20%, you know, the everyone outside of Disney. So the writer, director, actors, everyone involved that gets a piece of this, contractually gets a piece of 20% of what comes in. And there's no cost to what they're doing. There's no manufacturing, there's no distribution. It's now just a click of a button to transfer their, you know, property to a platform, and then that platform distributes it for them free to everyone's home. And for that courtesy, they get 80% of all revenue.
See, they need to break up Big Mouse.
Yeah. At least put a muzzle on him.
Any documentary made by ESPN that gets put on a streaming service is a home video. ABC. I mean, they own everything. They own Disney, all Disney shit, of course, is on Disney, but they own all the 20th Century Fox film and television studios properties. They own ABC. They own ESPN and all its subsidiaries. It's ridiculous that they own that much. Paramount owns a shitload too. You know, Warner Brothers owns a shitload of content too. How many content streamers and providers are there that own their stuff? Four or five?
Unfortunately, it is four or five.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the 300 that are out there, you know, making a product.
Right. Well, there used to be laws. There used to be, I mean, my industry, radio, used to have laws. When I moved to Atlanta, I think there were maybe seven or eight stations that came in crystal clear. There were stations outside. They were all owned by different people. And throughout the 90s and the early 2000s, they allowed five, six companies to buy up everything. And a lot of those companies lost money. Their investors took a, you know, their investors took a shit bath, lost all the stock value. And more important than that, talent got fucked over. Everybody got fired. Or if you weren't fired, you were put in a mold of a way you had to behave. It's a long story. It's boring. But that's the way everything went in the 90s, 2000s. Everything's owned by one or two companies. And when you have one or two companies, there's no competition. So why strive to be better? I don't know.
And finally, it looks like there is an opening in Hollywood if you want to be the dog walker of Lady Gaga.
I don't want that. I don't want to get shot.
Well, she's only got one left now, so you can make it quick.
She immediately offered $500,000, which fucks up the investigation.
Oh, and created an email address to where, you know, if you're the person that has the dog, no questions asked, $500,000 to you. Just send in an email to an email address.
Fuck my dog, I got shot. Fuck him.
Yeah, he got shot four times to the chest, but he's in stable condition and going to make it. Look for, you know, a guy with two squealing French bulldogs and a very terrible aim.
As long as Walter the Frenchie is home and safe, I don't care. You know who Walter the Frenchie is?
Yeah, my wife follows him on Instagram.
Oh, you say that with such derision. I guess
it's just every day. It's, oh, look what they're doing. That, and there's some... that howl screech that bulldogs have. Yeah.
Yeah.
They talked about that on Tell 'Em Steve Dave, so I think I followed it, but I haven't been paying attention to that.
Oh, turn the sound on when you see Walter. It'll drive you nuts. It's funny, though. I've never heard a dog sound like that in my life.
Yeah, it almost sounds like they're, you know, when you hear dogs say, you know, I love you, like rah, rah, rah.
Yeah, yeah.
They do that with everything. Like all of their, you know, anytime they want something to eat, it's just like a song instead of a bark. It's really, bulldogs are like, you know, English bulldogs are like that too. My wife had those growing up. And so she was telling me it was ridiculous. They'll sit there and they don't bark at you. They'll just sit there and cry and like just whine and cry. Doesn't sound like a dog at all. It sounds like a person.
Bark.
Yeah.
But he's old English. I've never heard him sing, but that'd be cool if he did. Anyway.
But that's the news.
That's the news. That's it.
That's like seven stories.
I know. That's awesome. Jeff, somebody passed away. Who died?
101 years old. That's a good run. Lawrence Ferlinghetti.
Yeah, he owned a very influential and popular and culturally relevant bookstore in San Francisco called City Lights Books, right?
Yep.
And that's where all the beat writers would hang out, and a lot of, he published some of their stuff, right? A lot of stuff. I've never been there. I have friends who went there. Have you ever been there, Jeff?
No, I've never even been to California.
You've never been to California in your life? Nope. I can't believe that, but yeah, my friend Larry, Larry Butts, he's been there. Friends Matt and I believe Stu went there. Maybe, I don't know, but I know that Matt has been there.
Is it like one of those cultural meccas that you have to visit if you go to San Francisco?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you ever see the movie Flashback? Really terrible movie with Kiefer Sutherland and Dennis Hopper.
Oh yeah. Where he finds his dad who was a hippie.
Yeah, that's the end of the movie is shot there.
Oh, okay.
It's in front of that bookstore.
And William, people say it's like the best bookstore of all time.
Mm-hmm. I used to call and ask for him when I'd prank it and ask for him, and he'd come to the phone, and I'd be too scared, and I'd just hang up. And so did Larry. It turns out he did the same thing. Or I would ask for like deadbeat people, like, "Hey, can I speak to Jack Kerouac?" Click. Or trying to call. We had William S. Burroughs, someone in his family. We had his phone number in Kansas.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But no one ever put him on. And I used to, like I told you that story, I used to prank Joey Ramone at night when I get drunk because he left his phone number on a comment card. Finally, the last time I did it was really late and I was drunk. Some woman went, "He's very sick. Stop calling." Oh, sorry. I didn't know he was sick. Anything else we want to talk about?
Oh, they're making some more Stephen King movies.
Yeah.
The Jaunt is getting a movie.
I like that story.
Yeah, it's an awesome story.
What's The Jaunt in?
Skeleton Crew.
Oh yeah. Fuck yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the space travel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you have to be asleep to travel to Mars or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those stories that you can't really tell the plot without giving it away, but
yeah.
I want to go to Mars. I want to go to Mars.
It'll be good. What was the other one? They're making...
Lisey's story they're making into a series.
Yes. I saw that. I wonder if that'll be any good.
That book was okay. I mean, it was fine, but it wasn't one of my favorites.
It's sort of tied into either the Dark Tower universe or the Talisman world. I think it's more Talisman world, isn't it?
Well, those are interconnected as well.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, different levels, though, right?
That's the only thing referenced to the Dark Tower book-wise that I haven't read is the Talisman and Black House.
Talisman is my favorite.
Yeah, Talisman is my favorite book too.
I think because he only wrote half of. Who wrote the other part?
Peter Straub.
Peter Straub. Yeah, the Dark House is good too. Both of them. It's not as good as
Black House, but it takes forever for someone to flip to the territories. That's what I was so pissed about.
What, in Dark House?
Yeah.
Black House. Why do I say Dark House? Black House.
They're supposed to be working on book three too, but then Peter Straub had health issues and he was hospitalized and stuff, but I think he's home now, so hopefully they'll get back to work on that.
Well, Dustin, read The Talisman. It's great. Actually, get the audiobook narrated by Frank Muller.
Yeah,
get
some. Oh, is Muller doing it?
Yeah.
I'll definitely get it then. That's my next one. I'm in the middle of the Mr. Mercedes trilogy right now. I'm right about three quarters of the way through Finders Keepers.
Who's the guy that narrates that movie?
That's that actor guy. Yeah, Will Patton.
Yeah, he does Dark Sleep or Doctor Sleep and Dark Sleep.
You're doing it too.
Now I'm doing it.
Now you got me doing it. Read listen to The Talisman because he, you know, to me, no one's better than Frank Muller, but he really, in that book, nails the characters as well as he does in The Dark Tower. So
I really, really like him as a narrator.
Mm-hmm. He was the best, man. Rest in peace.
Axiomatic. It's axiomatic. Oh, that gives me shivers, the creepy characters in that book. Oh, the talisman. Fucking thief! The retarded spider. Fucking thief! You remember that, Jeff?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, I won't ruin it for you. All right, we'll be back with Stephanie next week. And until that time, please remember to keep it
canon.
And if you're looking to adopt a dog, ArkvilleRescue.org. Hey, we want to thank our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers. Those are the people who come in at the $25 or above. If you don't do that, you know, of course, we mention you in the YouTube video. You see a thank you that Dustin's put together. But these are the people that have been with us the longest and have donated the most over the years, and we appreciate all your help. And we break them up with radio terms, starting off with the general managers. And those are the folks that have been with us 4 years or longer. We have Eric Malmstrom, who's been with us since October 2016. Wow. Keith Tate, also October 2016. In fact, I think these guys are the, they may as well be the owners of the radio group, don't you think? Because they've been with us longer. Oh, and throw Matt Carter in with that. He's been around since November 2016. And our most recent winner of Danger Zone, Chad Shepard, who's been around with us since October of 2017. I got to send those shirts out. No, he's not getting a shirt until we get the... No, I'm kidding. I don't want the Redbox troll doll. I want him to have it, but... now, our program directors, those are folks who come in at 2 to 3 years. We have Sean Hall from April of 2018. We have Mike D, August of 2018. And John Sutherland, December of 2018. And all three of those guys, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Well, then we got our DJ, Spin It Up the Hits, up to 2 years or less. Spin It Up the Hits, that's right. There we go. We got Tim Slayton, who's coming in at number 5 on the list, 2019. He's been around. We got Brian Smith, who I have been manually dropping his name in wherever in the podcast because we had to record the new one. But thank you, Brian Smith, and Chelsea as well. We have Chris Chandler. Not the quarterback for the Falcons, but a different Chris Chandler, since December of 2020. So thank you very much. Todd Ellis from January of 2020. So he's been with us a little over a year. Roby Neely, who's been with us, who's also a champion of, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to do a championship battle between the people who won Danger Zone. More on that later.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I think it'd be great. We have a tournament of champions, sure.
Yeah, and then eventually when we all die like Alex, they can take over the show. and a special shout-out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Buck coming in December of 2017 and Emily Warren coming in May of 2018. So thank you guys very much. And like we said, if you want to be a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews.